Tempting Faith is the title of a controversial new book by David Kuo, who spent almost 3 years as a special assistant to President Bush in the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. Kuo describes a White House that exploited that office for political gain and failed to take its conservative Christian supporters seriously. White House spokesman Tony Snow says that office is not used for political purposes. Kuo says Mr. Bush promised conservative Christians a lot but has delivered little. But he writes in his book that evangelicals still believe in President Bush.
Christians trust their Christian president. This is true of the evangelical political leadership, but of greater consequence for Christian moms who homeschool their kids and Christian dads coaching soccer and everyone who follows the Dobsons and the Robertsons and the Falwells. George W. Bush can really do no wrong.
Do you think that Christian conservatives still have that kind of attitude toward the president?
You know, they do, and I think nothing has proven that more to me than the reaction of the book in the last week or so since it began to come out. It's been remarkable that the one sort of media outlet that won't allow me to speak are any of the Christian media outlets. They've given the White House extraordinary time to, you know, say all the things that are wrong with the book, but they have never sort of allowed the opportunity for me to be able to sort of present the case, even though, frankly, the case that I present isn't a political one from my purposes. It's a spiritual one that Christians need to understand that they are selling a great promise of God for a very poor political biscuit.
Making a bad trade somehow.
Yeah, making a bad trade. I mean, it's a classically bad trade, but that's part of the problem people of faith face when they get into politics.
When did you begin to feel that you and the leaders of the evangelical community were going down the wrong road with this White House?
I came to the White House for a specific reason, and that was to work on fulfilling the extraordinary promise that George W. Bush had made in the 2000 campaign when he promised $8 billion a year in aid for the poor. But it wasn't long before I got in the White House and I saw what was going on, but the level of hostility that we encountered set against the amount of public posturing and public talking about compassion and how much was being done was really jarring. It took 8, 16, 24 months for me to slowly come to the point of saying, I really can't do this anymore. I really can't deceive people anymore.
Now, in your book, you point to Billy Graham as someone who loved politics and got involved in politics and then felt that that relationship cost him something. You point to him almost as if to say that suddenly you looked at Billy Graham and you realized there was a lesson for you in his life.
That's right. Billy Graham had been deeply involved in politics. He himself talks about how politics held this deep, deep passion for him. But then he discovered how he had been burned by the Nixon White House. And he pulled away for decades. And he got involved in things like trying to reach out to the poor, trying to reach out to leaders behind the Berlin Wall, behind the Iron Curtain. And he performed all of these amazing acts of just trying to bring God into places where it hadn't been. He focused less on politics and more on God, and in so doing, had such a tremendous impact.
Now, you've suggested that as sort of an antidote to attempting to get involved in politics and sort of dealing with broken promises and as you say, people who are not telling the truth about those promises, you've suggested that people of faith might want to reconsider political involvement. You call for what you say would be a fast from politics.
That's right. It's been misrepresented as this attempt 3 weeks before the election to suppress the Christian vote and to tell people not to vote. Well, if anybody actually reads what I had to say, I say, no, everyone has to vote. You can't stop being a citizen. My concern is a spiritual one. And I think now, especially for evangelicals who have gotten so involved in politics to the point where it really seems inseparable, where Jesus and George W. Bush seem inseparable to them, I think a temporary step back from the political arena, not to do nothing but to serve the poor, but to give money to after-school programs, to programs that feed the poor and the hungry, I think would be a good thing.
Do you think it's even possible for evangelical Christians at this point, when they are so heavily identified with President Bush and the Republican Party, to regain some sort of political independence, to actually step back?
One of the things that the Bible talks about, that Jesus talks about, is idolatry. I think that if they can't, if we can't step back from George W. Bush and the Republican Party, doesn't that suggest that we've made George W. Bush and the Republican Party an idol?
I don't know. Does it?
I think it does. These aren't easy conclusions to come to. These aren't easy things to say. But I don't think there's any other conclusion. Jesus makes it clear that if you cannot give up something, it has become an idol. And from a faith perspective, I think it's vital to be able to say, no, God comes first. God must always come first.
Have you come to think that religion and politics are uncomfortable together? I mean, I'm wondering what you think Christians ought to do at the end of a, say, 1 or 2 year fast from politics. What should they do then?
That would be a great thing to explore. I would love to see the answer to that, because I think that the other advantage of the fast is it gives you additional perspective. I think Christians, of course, should come back to politics. I think they're a vital leavening force. Without Christians, there would have been no civil rights movement. There would have been no abolition of slavery as soon as it occurred. But perhaps when Christians come back, they will come back with different perspectives, perhaps working on behalf of the poor, perhaps working on social justice issues will be a much higher priority. Perhaps Darfur and saving Darfur will be more significant than yet another cut in the estate tax benefiting the extraordinarily wealthy. I don't know what the answer is. It's something that I would love to see.
David Coe, thank you very much for being on our program.
Thank you for having me.
David Coe, his book is called Tempting Faith. The subtitle is An Inside Story of Political Seduction. A recent poll by the Pew Research Center finds that evangelical support for Republican congressional candidates has dropped more than 10% since the 2002 elections. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.